Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
The last time we heard from Israel was in September, I think, as the country was heading back into lockdown. And we thought to ourselves, God, love them. Well, since then, the country became one of the leaders in the race to vaccinate. So how are things over there now? Well, Mayan Jaffe Hoffman, she's been on the show before. She's from the Jerusalem Post. She's on the line to tell us all. Good morning, Mayan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thanks for coming back on the show. Can I ask you, how is life in Israel at the moment? Are you currently in lockdown or what's going on?
Yes, we are currently in lockdown. It's actually the irony of the whole situation. We are racing to vaccinate and very successfully. We've had over 2.6 million people receive at least their first shot of the Pfizer vaccine. And at the same time, we have a large amount of infection. This morning, just about 8,000 new cases were diagnosed. Again, about 8 to 9% of every person screened for the virus is testing positive. We've extended our lockdown, shut our skies. Because the British mutation is about 40 to 50% of all cases and is really moving fast across the country.
Okay, so you're in lockdown. Do you know how long that's going to be for? Will it continue until the majority of people have been vaccinated? Or what's the talk over there of the length of time?
Sure. Well, it's an interesting question. You know, we just extended it earlier this week by 10 days.
Okay.
And it's supposed to complete on the 31st. Talk is already within the health ministry letting us know that it will likely need to be extended by at least another week, if not a little bit longer, as well as keeping those airports shut just a little bit longer also after the lockdown in order to ensure that mutations do not enter Israel.
Okay. And what is compliance with the rules like among the public? Are they happy about this? Is there a lot of rule breaking going on? What's happening?
Well, I'm not sure anybody's ever happy about lockdown.
No, true.
There's a mix of compliance. The biggest problem we're seeing actually is within our ultra-Orthodox community. I'm sure people have seen it on the news, the crazy riots, attacks against bus drivers, police, as they go out and try to continue with their lives despite the rules. And we do know that the highest amount of infection is actually within that ultra-Orthodox community. And so they're spreading it amongst themselves. And because this particular variant is quite impactful on both younger people, children, as well as pregnant women, we're actually seeing some very acute cases this time around that we didn't see last time because of them not keeping the rules and the variant combined.
So are the airports completely shut down? What are the rules there?
Yeah, last night, actually at midnight, the airport shut down. There is a humanitarian outline, as we call it. If there are people that need to go in or out, you know, obviously for health reasons or emergencies, they can get in and out of the country. And the foreign ministry is working with, Israelis that are stranded abroad. But in general, nobody can enter or exit the country.
Now, Israel's vaccination program is well underway. You said there 2.6 million have received the first dose. How is it being distributed?
So this has been the most incredible thing to watch, actually. And here we can be very proud as Israelis. I mean, we have a really solid health fund, solid social medicine program, and they have been able to effectively distribute the vaccines. We started with our medical personnel and people over the age of 60. We are now already down to people 40 and older, as well as teens, 16 to 18, the kids that need to go back and take their matriculation exams and who need to get into school to be able to take those tests.
Jesus, well, you're well ahead of us. How much does it cost in the country to be a leader in vaccines?
How much does it cost, you said?
Yeah, how much is it costing the country?
Oh, quite. I mean, I don't have an exact number for you, but I know that we paid around $30 per dose of the Pfizer vaccine,
okay.
Which means if you do the math there, you know, we're getting about 6 million of us vaccinated. So that's it's quite expensive.
Can I ask you, how have the government reacted to criticism about the vaccine not being available in the occupied territories?
Okay, so first of all, it's not exactly the case. We have done some humanitarian vaccination within the Palestinian Authority, and there has been some dialogue going on. I think the general understanding is that we're going to try to vaccinate Israelis that are living, within general territory, and that there will be some support for the Palestinians as well. But there was also an issue that the Palestinians did not want to to take vaccinations from us for a period of time, and they went elsewhere to other companies. They're supposed to be getting a shipment any day now from Sputnik, from the Russian vaccine. It was delayed for technical reasons a couple of days ago.
Now, you mentioned there that over 40-year-olds and did you say students are getting vaccinated, or some students are getting vaccinated now?
Exactly. It's pretty cool. The teens, actually, ages 16 to 18, are getting vaccinated. The reason for that is that we do know that the virus, of course, spreads pretty much consistently in any child over the age of 10, just as it would in an adult. And those kids between that age, 16 and 18, are in the end of their high school career, need to be able to go to school to study and to take what we call here matriculation exams that will allow them, you know, to get into the Army, to go to a good college. And without being able to congregate and to go to school, they're really struggling. And so the idea was to vaccinate those kids, give them, you know, a period of time to obviously get, you know, immunity up, and then to be able to send them back to school and to take their test.
So the plan is to open the schools pretty soon over there, I suspect, even in lockdown. Would you suspect that the schools would open, you know, once the majority of people have been vaccinated?
Well, when the majority, yes. Because of the mutation, it's actually interesting. We had always assumed that come the 31st, the last day of this current lockdown, as it at least stands today, that all of the schools would open up. But already last night, there started to be discussion that just might not be the case. We will, again, send those teens back. We'll probably send preschoolers, potentially the elementary schoolers, back into their classrooms. But unfortunately, there's this group, you know, between the ages of, let's say, 10 and up to grade 10, you know, 15, that is probably going to continue with distance learning, because we're now seeing, as I mentioned, that the mutation is spreading to children as well.
Do you know where you are on the list for the vaccination?
I've been vaccinated with my first shot. I'm over the age of 40, and therefore I was able to get my first shot. Yes.
And how does that feel?
It was one of the most exciting days, having covered the pandemic, you know, for the last 11 months, and to be able to sort of see that light at the end of the tunnel. I was really thrilled, almost in tears, getting that first vaccination. And my second one is on the 10th of February. So
when you get the second one on the 10th of February, are you pretty safe then? Is it a week after that that you can go and give your family a big hug? Or what's the situation after? How long do you have to wait?
Exactly. It's 1 week afterwards. Okay. And then you get here in this country what's called a vaccination certificate, and you are exempt from going into isolation if you're by a sick patient, and you can kind of go out and feel safer. Now, you do have to be careful. I just want to caution with hugging your family, right? Because we don't yet know if the vaccines don't spread the virus. You won't get sick, so you'll feel safe, but you might be able to make somebody else sick. And so in terms of, you know, meeting with elderly or anybody who hasn't been vaccinated, of course, we still need to be careful, wear masks, social distance.
Absolutely. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It sounds like Israel are way ahead of everybody else, and something you should be very proud of. It sounds like the government have gotten a hold of it. But like, here is still changing. Like you said, they're making decisions. Even last night, lockdown is changing. And it's pretty much like here, things change so quickly, don't they?
Oh, yes, they do. I mean, I wish that we could, know what the end is going to look like. But every week is a new week.
Absolutely. Well, listen, stay safe and best of luck with everything, OK?
Thank you.
Thanks, Mayan. Bye, bye, bye. There we go. That is Mayan Jaffe-Hoffman. She's the news editor of the Jerusalem Post. I just want to thank her for taking the time to chat to us. Whoa, they are way ahead of us, aren't they? And there is light at the end of the tunnel. It seems like they're doing the right thing. And what an exciting day for Mayan. Like she said, she's already had her vaccine, and the 10th of Feb, she's waiting on her second one. But like she said, you still have to be careful. So not out of the woods just yet. We're going to be back right after these.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.